So I'd like to call the meeting to order, and if all right with Raymond James, if we could come back to the investment report later in the meeting.
Absolutely.
So on to item number two, approval of the minutes. If folks have read the minutes, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
This is Reverend Cousins, so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
That's Evelise Rivera, is that right?
Yes, sorry.
No problem. Is there any discussion on the motion to approve the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Should we go one by one here?
Yes, Mayor, it's Carolyn, we need to do a roll call.
So Justin Elliker, aye.
Patrick Cannon, aye.
Brian McDermott, aye.
Tina Cousin, aye.
Evelise Rivera, aye.
The motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number three, administrative matters. A, review of the Brenner Saltzman and Wallman contract. So we had discussed this item at the last meeting and agreed that we would all review it in between now and then. And if there were any major questions or issues, we'd raise them now. Are there any questions from the committee on this item?
Trustee Cannon.
Go ahead.
Could you reiterate where we're at with this?
So as I recall, and correct me, Attorney Cohen, if I'm wrong, we are reviewing a contract from Brenner Saltzman Wallman for continued work that Carolyn Cohen and her team has been providing to the pension fund up to the next 3 years. However, we can terminate that contract with 30 days notice. Do you have anything you'd like to add, Attorney Cohen?
This is Carolyn. So the history of this was we responded twice to an RFP. The most recent response was in the fall of 2017. The board chose our firm, and then we returned to the board because the financial arrangements, there were a flat fee versus an hourly fee, had not been decided by the board when it approved, when it selected our firm. The board decided at a meeting, I think last year, that what they wanted to do was to have an hourly fee, try it for a year, and that didn't work out, to go to a flat fee. We drafted the contract in the fall of 2019, and the board had said that the contract should go to the Corporation Counsel's office for review. I believe Mr. Sagnella sent it to the Corporation Counsel's office. With the new Corporation Counsel, she decided, and a great deal of thought put into this, that really it was not appropriate, wasn't within the charter, for her office to be providing legal advice to the pension board about any matter, including this contract. So at the last meeting, I believe that the mayor suggested that this board review the contract and see if that was something that they felt comfortable approving, or if they wanted maybe an outside law firm to look at it. And I think that's where we are.
I actually had a couple of quick questions, and I apologize for not bringing these up before, Attorney Cohen. I think they're pretty simple, but what does a blended legal fees mean?
It means that whatever, so in our law firm, we all have very different rates, and each attorney has their own rates, and what this blended means that it's $300 an hour, no matter if our tax attorney is providing services, his rate is very, very high, or our head of our litigation department is providing services. No matter who in the firm is providing services to the board, it's only one rate, $300 an hour.
Okay, thank you. And then $6,000 monthly fee based on regular matters. Have in general, how many hours do you spend on what is classified as regular matters? It's probably hard to know exactly.
No. So the regular matters are the items that are listed in A. A big litigation matter. What we did, and I can't tell you hours, we looked at all of the bills for the prior 3 years, and I think the pension office did the same thing. They looked at all the bills and came out with an average of what the monthly was. But that, as I said before, would not be the fee that would be charged to police and fire. We would still be doing it on an hourly basis. And then in a year from the approval of the contract or when the contract goes into effect, the board would look at what they were paying each month for the year and decide whether they wanted to move on to that $6,000 flat fee.
Well, maybe I misunderstood then. So you would not be charging you would just be doing hourly?
Yes, that's what the board decided. I think it was in this past summer. They decided that they wanted to stay on the hourly rate. The CERC board decided they wanted the $6,000 a month. And to review that after a year, the police and fire board said they wanted to stay on the hourly rate and then to review that after a year.
Oh, I see. Okay. So in the section that says fees, it outlines that what you just said, that that we at the moment are just going to use the costs in section. I'm just reading this. The fees and costs to be charged by the contract services are set forth in Exhibit B.
And we're doing number, I believe, A and C. We're doing the hourly rate fee. It's number one. And then after a year, reviewing whether you guys want to do number two.
I see. Yeah, it says we'll be doing one and three.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, Mr. Mayor, if I may, my recollection of the meeting is when it was presented to us to do the per diem, we did a quick fast calculation, and it just didn't seem feasible to go to a flat fee. I don't have a contract in front of me, but there was something in the proposal that said that if something were to happen, that we would be charged that. Something didn't happen, we would be charged that anyways. And so when we did the quick and dirty, it just didn't appear to be feasible. So we had decided at that point that we would want to continue for another year at the usual rate. And then we would evaluate to see if it was economically feasible or if we should then go to the flat fee. What I don't understand is why Corporation Counsel can't review the contract. And my question would be, well, what has happened in the past when this RFP has been awarded to your firm, and who reviewed it in the past, and what's different now from then?
This is Carolyn speaking. So we have been the lawyers for the board for 40 years. There's never ever been a contract before. So there's no precedent. I just want to make sure everybody understands. We have been at $280 an hour, so it's not the same rate as you're paying now. This would be, since I believe 2012, this is an increase in our rate. And then the last question is about Corporation Counsel. They feel very, very strongly, I've had number of conversations with them about this, that they, in the charter, their job is to advise the city's boards other than the pension board, that the pension board under the special act is supposed to have its own counsel, historically always had its own counsel. And sometimes we do not always agree with the position of the corporation counsel. So sometimes we're adverse, and they were very, very uncomfortable. I mean, I was fine with me if they reviewed it and I tried to, you know, answer all their questions, but they concluded that this was not what the Corporation Counsel should be doing.
Okay. So in the documents that were sent to us by Leanne, did we have, I don't think I saw it, was there a copy of the previous contract versus this contract so we could take a look at the difference in fees? Because I didn't recall that it was going to be an increase, and that just could be my memory.
No, no, no. There never has been a previous contract.
Well, you're billing, whatever. You had to have something.
That's right. So the rate have been for many, many, many years, $280. And maybe that wasn't clear, that what you pay today, like with the bill that you're going to see today, is $280 an hour. For example, my regular rate is $425 an hour, and we did provide that information in the response to the RFP. It showed all of our attorneys' rates that would be working on the matters, and the rate that we would be charging to the board, the very large discount that we give to the board.
I guess for me, since it's been a while, and I'm sure other trustees may agree that our memories aren't probably as great as they used to be, I would feel more comfortable taking a look again at the current fee structure versus what the proposal is before approving the contract.
I think we also, paralegal rates, we did not increase them.
Yeah. Trustee Cannon, I agree with Trustee Ribeiro. This was almost a year ago. I mean, we may have agreed sometime early summer last year, but it was over a year ago. I do have more concerns. We just went through an issue with the transition from our financial group, and it opened up some eyes on some areas. I understand Brenner Saltzman is giving us a discount, but I also watched in the last year or so the inability to control the hours that are worked. So I definitely think it's our fiduciary responsibility to at least review the whole terms, especially seeing that we have a new chair in Mayor Elliker. So I think that we definitely need to go over all past details in relation to the Brenner-Saltzman contract. I think there was approximately three law firms originally. It was long, exhausting. We were dealing with bylaws at the same time, so I know that everybody was a little bit worn down, but I definitely think that we need to revisit it.
Yeah, if I may, so the attorney Cohn is offering us another option to take under control some of the hours by providing a monthly fee for all regular matters. So, and that's not entertained in this contract, but it is an option in this contract if the board decided to go in that direction to give a little bit more predictability on our side about the costs for regular matters. I read the contract. It's not that complicated. It's not that long. I think it seems fair to me. It requires the law firm to have insurance. The fee structure is pretty simple and clear. I think it's appropriate for us to have a contract for predictability's sake on both sides. If people want to take a little bit more time to review it, or if there are specific issues about this contract that people suggest we should change, then that would be fair.
Trustee Cannon, yes, I think that would be fair. I think we should go back and review and all come up to speed with it. And possibly look into an RFP if we're not able to work something out.
So am I correct, Attorney Cohn and Leanna, in understanding that there was already a proposal submitted?
It was extensive. There were two RFPs, one in 2014, and there was no action ever taken on that. And then there was the one in 2017. There were reams and reams of paper involved in that. It's a very large undertaking. I mean, the board should do what the board feels comfortable doing, but.
And the board has had now 2 months to review the contract that it was shared with us in the previous meeting. And we discussed in the previous meeting how we'd spend the next month reviewing the contract and if there were any questions, they could raise them now. If it's fine with Attorney Cohn, we can wait another month, but I think we should move forward with this.
Yeah, it's fine. I want, and maybe what would be, I don't know if you want the pension administrator to again give you the history of what the billing's been for 12 months, if that would make people more comfortable.
Is that something that it has already been done in a way that it can just be shared with the pension board again?
You did do it, but it's not that recent. As I recall.
Carolyn, Jerry Sagnola, yes. Are you just asking for a summary of the last 12 months of bills that Brenda Sullivan has submitted for the Police and Fire Fund?
If the trustees think that's helpful.
Yeah, that should be pretty readily available for us to get for the next meeting. We did it once not too long ago, and all it has to do is be updated.
No, I'm not sure whether or not Trustee Cannon was suggested that you go out for a new RFP, or if you wanted to look at the, I'm not sure what would be helpful to.
Well, Trustee Cannon just wants to get a better understanding of everything. And I understand Mayor Ellicott just pointed out that we've had a little time in the last 2 months to review everything. But in light of the pandemic, I know that everyone has been preoccupied with other things. So I don't know necessarily if we all have reviewed it. We also just went through a time with the transition from one financial institution to another that was cut and dry, yet we watched you drag it out forever and build the hell out of this pension fund. So my point—
Just to interject, I think it's important that we use respectful language during the committee.
Correct, I agree. Once again, I watched throughout this where we had to endure uncontrollable fees, and there was no stopgaps in place. It was very frustrating. I know myself and other trustees were, this was prior to you, Mayor, coming on board. It was in your transition. So my concern is that we reevaluate the fees and everything associated with that contract. And if it requires us to go back to the drawing board and get an RFP in place, then that's something that we should do. It's a fiduciary responsibility. I don't want to lock it. I don't want to have any reservations and lock into a 3-year contract with this firm without getting a full understanding of all the details and a great understanding of the fees going forward.
So, Trustee Ken, what information do you need? I think everybody should be comfortable. They have all the information they need and all the time they need. I just want to understand what information it is that would be helpful to you and to the board in reviewing this contract.
Trustee McDermott, to throw my 2 cents in, I'd like to see what exactly is covered. If there's going to be a flat fee for routine services, what is covered with that? And if something goes outside of the routine services, does the board get an opportunity to review and approve all of these billable hours? And also, for the record, I mean, Trustee Cannon is not alone with his concerns on how the transition from Morgan Stanley to Raymond James was handled.
So I understand that. So just so that you can look in the next month, all of the routine services are in Exhibit A. And then if there is something unusual, that is set forth in Exhibit B, paragraphs 2, C, D, and E.
This Reverend Cousin, Trustee Cousin. I remember actually sitting during the RFP process in 2017 where we met with at least 2 or 3 legal firms during that time. And we as a board did agree to move on with Brenda Sussman and this particular law firm. Long story less long, I know we've been talking about fees. I know we've been talking about payments. Really on both sides, we're just looking at trying just to save money. But in reading the contract, I think everything is fair. I think everything is straight up. And I don't want to just keep prolonging and dragging it out. you know, because we've actually been discussing this for over really close to 7-8 months, regardless of where we are in time. And it'll be great if we could just have some type of conclusive decision on moving forward so we can get to some other business of this board.
So, trustee Cousins, the contract may be fine. I mean, my only thing that I'm asking, and maybe we can go back and look at the minutes, because there was a discussion regarding a flat fee or paying something different. And I just think, for me, that's the issue at hand, because if I remember correctly, it didn't seem like flat fee was economically feasible.
I was there for that meeting. I remember that discussion where we were looking at it. We thought it would be actually be cheaper on the longer run, but we realized there were some other specific issues that did not include part of the flat fee. That's when we just went back to just going to the hourly rate. I do believe that they were talking about reducing the hourly rate, where normally they would charge a certain amount, but I think we got like a little bit of a reduction. And so I think that's what we agreed to move forward with.
Right, but what I'm hearing was that it was a reduction, there's an increase in the fee. So that's why I'm asking to see the fee structure.
Yes, Trustee Cannon.
I don't want anyone to not understand this. When we did the RFP response, we explained that we had not received a rate increase in many, many, many years, and that this was a very large discount from our usual hourly rates. But
and Attorney Cohn, did you in the RFP propose the $300 an hour rate?
Yes, yeah. So, and we were very, very clear about that, that we were asking for an increase in our hourly rate from what we had been charging for, I believe it's since 2012. I mean, it was really a very, very long time ago.
Trustee Cannon, does that rate include Quadros?
Yes.
I thought that was separate.
That's only if you go to the flat fee. So it's under.
Again, my concern is the control of the hours that you bill us. We lose control, especially with this transition from one financial institution to another. We had lawyers from the financial institutions that could have done most of the legwork, but you chose to not let them do it, and it took longer, and at times you were confused. I got that from several lawyers from the pension companies, that they didn't understand why you didn't understand certain things. So I guess I get it, it's new. We've had transitions from other financial companies in the past, so you had a textbook to go off of. And my frustration comes down where we're gonna lock into 3-year terms here, and we have no control once something comes up to prevent you from going forward with the ton of hours that, whether they're justifiable or not, we lose control.
So I really wanna address that issue. You have control in two ways. First is every single month you have to approve our bill. If you think that there are things on there, and you have in the past raised issues, that is a control. And the second control that you have is that it's terminable at 30 days notice. If you're unhappy with our services, then you can terminate it within 30 days. So you're not locked into a 3-year contract that is beyond your control. You have complete control over our monthly billings. And I really think so, and I know how you feel about the Raymond James negotiations, and I'm respectful of that. But there's things that we do, Leanna and I do every single day, that you really, you know, there's a lot we do.
And that could be that is another point I'd like to make. We don't, as a board, and I'm personally vested in this fund. My money goes into this fund. So if I get a little bit more passionate than others, I take that into account. My control of your hourly fee has to do with anytime you want to call that office, and then you just start spinning fees. So that's another thing that we need to discuss.
But okay, I would like to discuss that, because I never call that office. I get calls from that office. And I think Leanna and Jerry can address that.
Well, I
am extremely, extremely busy as a lawyer, thank God. And I try to be very, very responsive to Leanna and Jerry and their questions. But I'm never looking to generate bills. And I don't know if I can convince you otherwise.
I just want to be clear, Trustee Cannon, it's important not to question people's integrity during the meeting. If you have concerns about any specific practices, we can discuss those. Also, there is an option that is available if we're concerned about the regular matters that are conducted of the flat monthly fee of $6,000 if Pension Board chose to go that route. I think it's a fair concern to be able to control expenses and have some sort of scale of what certain expenses may be if there's an extraordinary matter, if there's something unusual. And it sounds to me, while I wasn't on the board at this time, that the pension board didn't understand fully how much legal services would be needed as a part of the Raymond James agreement. And I can understand why people may be frustrated or surprised by that. We are not planning on doing, as far as I have seen in any of these meetings, a change in our financial advisor. But if that does happen again, it's clear that we should have a very detailed conversation about how many hours we would approve of the legal counsel doing. So it sounds to me like there's a couple of things. One is the pension board needs to spend some more time reviewing the proposed agreement, and that the pension board should have an assessment of the hourly or the monthly costs that are incurred on matters by attorney or by Brennan Saltzman, so that we can better understand the ramifications of the $20 hourly pay increase before we move forward with the contract. Is that fair? Are there other things that people feel like they need to know before deciding on this agreement?
What you're saying is we're going to continue to review this one more month?
With additional information provided by staff.
Okay. And Mayor, let's make this one thing clear. Welcome to the board. It's been 2 months, but I will challenge anyone's integrity that I choose to challenge if it relates to this pension board. So you have a fiduciary responsibility, as I do, and I will always exercise that fiduciary responsibility to make sure that all things are done with the benefit of the Police and Fire Pension Trust.
I appreciate that, and that is all of our duty to make sure that we are ensuring the integrity of the pension fund. However, I think that board etiquette, it is important that we don't disparage other people's reputation during a board meeting. And I would say questioning someone's integrity during a board meeting is disparaging someone's reputation. If there are questions about a specific billing or concerns about how something was done, I think that we can raise those in a way that's sensitive to not questioning that someone was doing something in order to get more money that might have been in an inappropriate or dishonest way. So that was the spirit of my statement.
Well, Mayor, this is Carolyn, and I appreciate that, but I was also hoping that Jerry or Leanna could explain to the board how their interactions with me result, whether they result from my calling or what their experience over the last many, many years has been.
I think we understand. I think we need to move on. So my recommendation at this point is let's just move on from this issue. We have the mayor's suggestion that we have one more month to review these details.
Jerry, just go ahead and then we can move on.
Yeah, sir. I've been a pension administrator up to about the last 8 months, 8-9 months, and Leanna can attest from that point on, but there are a myriad a myriad of issues that always come forward where we have to initiate a request from our legal counsel to provide an opinion on that issue. One of the problems is often the contracts themselves are vague in many areas, and we have specific issues that come up, and we do not have the pension office does not have jurisdiction or latitude to basically render an opinion on what they think should happen and enforce that. That being the case, there are many issues that come up. Some related to tax issues with the Internal Revenue. It's an ongoing thing. So there are reasons that we have to initiate requests to our legal counsel. And just Carolyn is right about, you know, I can't recall times that she has contacted me to generate something in terms of a legal opinion. It might be once in a while if a tax issue comes up and they make us aware of it. But other than that, I mean, usually we are the ones that initiate the request for a legal opinion. At one point, this has always been an issue, the billings. With the Police and Fire Fund, it's always been an issue in terms of the billings and the amount. And because they're much more intense sometimes compared to SURF. Our fund is a lot more, the SURF fund is a lot more benign. And at one point in the past, what happened was the trustee at the time, with the approval of the trustee, but the board in general, told our office that we could not generate additional billings independently with legal counsel unless we got approval from the board. And they at one point said that once it reached, we couldn't go above $500 in billing. I think you remember that, Carolyn. And what happened was after like 2 months of trying that, the trustees admitted that it was totally unworkable. There's no way that policy could be enforced, and it was rescinded because of the nature of the beast and how we're doing this on an ongoing basis with legal counsel.
Okay. Are there any other questions or comments from the board on this matter? So it sounds like the board is interested in tabling the matter. I'd entertain that motion if the board
motion. Trustee Cannon, motion to table.
Is there a second?
Second, Trustee McDermott.
Okay. Having been moved and seconded to table the matter, is there any discussion, or there's no discussion on the table? I go through folks one by one. Justin Elker, yes. Evelise Ribeiro?
Yes.
Patrick Cannon?
Trustee Cannon, yes.
Trustee Cousin?
Yes.
Trustee McDermott?
Yes.
Okay, the motion to table passes. Thank you. Moving on to item 3B, Yale Occupational Video Disability appointments. Is there someone on staff or Attorney Cohen that has?
Yes, I can speak on that. The Yale Occupational Health, who handles the disability reports for us, has just asked that during the pandemic, while they cannot do in-person appointments, if it was okay for anyone that was sent to them for disability examination, if it can be done through video or telephone.
Thank you.
We were just bringing it to the board's attention to see if that was okay with the board members for the doctors to review, you know, the employees who are trying to retire on a disability through video or telephone while the pandemic is going on.
Okay. Are there any questions on this item?
This Trustee Ken, this would only be during the pandemic. We're looking at hopefully very soon an end to this. So this would only be during the pandemic, Leanna?
Yes, that is also what we said for the SURF meeting as well, that it would just be, you know, during the pandemic, and as soon as they're able to do in-person appointments, it would go back to that.
Is this something we need to vote on, or is this just for informational?
Oh, this is Carolyn. I think it's for informational only.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring it to your attention in case, you know, you guys were against it for whatever reason.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Thank you, Leanna. It seems like a reasonable approach. I appreciate you providing the information to the board. It would be helpful in the future just to add information only for the items that we're not expected to vote on, so we have an understanding in advance.
Okay.
Are there any questions on this item? Okay, thank you. Moving on to item number 4A through D. Are there any questions on the age annuity retirement information only item?
Trustee Cannon, I don't have a question. I want to point out there's a couple mistakes made just in the wording on the age annuity of John Brown. His years of service and Orlando Marcano's years of service have inadvertently been flipped. It is John Brown that has the 25 years, including 1 year sick buyback and 4 years military buyback. John Brown is the one that is requesting the military time.
Yes, that is correct.
It's listed as Orlando Marcano.
Thank you for catching that.
We'll fix that on the minutes. Apologies there.
No, thanks for catching that, Trustee Cannon. I appreciate that. Any other questions on these items? Okay, moving on to item 5, death after retirement information only. I'd entertain a moment of silence for William Miller and Peter Marone. Thank you, everyone. Are there any questions on item number 5? Moving on to item 6, payment of the bills. Are there any questions on payment of the bills? We'll take a moment to review if you haven't. Go ahead.
I move the payment of the bills.
Thank you.
Can you everybody say who you are?
I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm Trustee Barbero.
Is there a second?
Trustee Cousin, second.
Item having been moved and seconded. Any discussion on this item? Seeing none. Justin Elliker, yes. Trustee Barbero?
Yes.
Trustee Cannon?
Trustee Cannon, yes.
Trustee Cousin?
Yes.
Trustee McDermott?
Yes.
The item passes. Any old business or new business?
I believe there was an item under new business that Dave Moran wanted to bring up. It was a bill. It's not on the bill sheet, but it is something that needs to be explained. I think Dave can explain it a little bit better. It was the Excel. I sent it in the email. It was the Excel file that was in the email yesterday.
Dave?
Hi. Good morning. Yeah, so we had spoken to Cook and Beeler for a number of reasons. I originally had contacted them about the contract clauses on one of their portfolios, which was brought up one of the prior meetings as to how they were paid. Before that actually came back to me, I received an email back the middle of April explaining to us that for all of their clients in that particular small cap value portfolio, there was a miscalculation of fees. So they sent us an email as well as a spreadsheet talking about how the group of clients that they had was miscalculated. They went through how they calculated that, and it basically came back with the fact that we are getting a grand total.
Mr. Moran, it's hard to hear you. You're cutting out.
60. So the way in which they explained
it. Mr. Moran?
Yeah, there was about a 65.
Can you hear me?
Am I on
mute? Dave.
You cut out briefly.
You're cutting out, Dave.
Can you rewind like maybe 45 seconds and start from there?
Okay. I sound like Derek at the surf meeting. Can everybody hear me now?
We can hear you.
All right, I'll speak directly into the computer.
It sounded like they caught some error, and you were explaining what the error was.
Correct. So the way in which they calculate their bill on that small cap value portfolio is different than normally, meaning that they have a way in which they get an incentive for outperforming their benchmark. So in that calculation, with all of their clients in their small cap value portfolio, there ended up being an overcharge. So with police and fire portfolio, that overcharge over time equaled about $65,000. And there's a spreadsheet there explaining exactly how they came to that number. They offered for us to not pay the first quarter bill and then also receive a payment back to us in a dollar amount that equals up to that $65,000. And with that said, what I wanted to bring back to the board was the question of how do they get paid on this portfolio versus most managers. So this portfolio was agreed to with a base fee of 30 basis points, which is lower than all other equity managers. So in essence, if they underperform their benchmark, they'll get paid less than any other equity manager. If they outperform the benchmark, in this case being the Russell 2000 value, 25% of the excess return goes to them to a cap of 1.3%. And this is over a three-year period. It's a little bit confusing, and I could put it in the next package of information if you'd like to see exactly how it's calculated. But basically, it's an incentive fee, much like a hedge fund. It's an incentive fee to outperform your benchmark in good times and get paid less in times where you do not do well. They did well for the period. However, they didn't do as well as their calculation. So I received a call back in the beginning of the month. I received a call yesterday actually asking if we had made a decision on it. And I said I'd get back to him today.
I'm sorry, I'm unclear what you're asking us to do.
I'm not asking for anything. I was just asking Mr. Mayor to please review what is in the package as far as bills. And what I would recommend is accepting the fact that we do not pay their first quarter bill and receive a refund for the balance of the $65,294.39. So it's a combination of not paying and getting a refund back.
Maybe I'm missing something, but I think we'd be happy to accept the refund. Is that what you're asking us to say?
I would recommend that we accept the refund.
Okay.
I'm not going to make a motion. That's not what I do, but you can.
But do we need to make a motion on this or...
Shouldn't it be automatic? If we're owed a refund, shouldn't it be automatic? Why do we have to request it?
Correct. I don't think we do. It's Dave Moran. I don't think we do. I was just information only.
Okay.
And I think Leanna was just bringing it up to say, hey, here's what's going on. So if you see it in the next package, this is why this looks this way.
Okay. Thank you. Got it.
So good news, we're getting money back versus paying it out.
Absolutely.
Trustee Cannon, I had spoken with Dave Moran, and Dave, great work on catching that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Any other questions on this item? Any other old or new business? So let's move on to the investment report, item one.
Hi, good morning. It's Dave Moran from Raymond James. So the good news is that we're getting back $65,000. So let's talk about March and some of the bad news. The good news is that this will actually end on a better note. Before I say that, I want to say I hope everybody's doing well out there and safe. I want to thank Elm City Police and Local 825 for their services, obviously, in this time. And I know there's been some infection there as far as people on the job. Also, Mayor Elliker, I follow you on Twitter and I watch your meetings, and I think you've done a great job in spite of this horrible situation. So job well done. So with that said, I need a little bit of help from Leanna here as far as putting slides up. Leanna, do you have the slide with the actual portfolio and the returns?
Yes, I do. Hold on one second because I got kicked out. So I think I lost the host capability. Give me one second.
I can actually do it without it, but... for visuals, and I'm sure plenty of people on this call probably don't have it in front of them anyways, so I'll try to be as macro as I can as far as what I'm talking about.
Can you be clear about the title of the document that you want us to open?
It should say PNF 2020 quarter one.
Gotcha. Maybe you can just start moving forward. It sounds like Leanne is having a little bit of technical difficulties here.
Okay, hold on one second. I bet you I could, I'm getting better at Zoom every day, so I might be able to actually.
She probably did. So my screen's disabled, so I presume others are as well. Or share screen feature.
Yeah, mine is also.
Sorry, I'm trying. I don't think. Sorry, my computer started.
That's okay. I just tried to share the screen. It said it's disabled for participants share screening anyway. So let's talk about what I'm talking about here. These are numbers as of March 31st. So much has changed since March 31st. Talk about a fast moving world and a fast moving market. So I'm going to go briefly through where our balances were and how we were doing against the overall market as of that date. And then I'm going to talk about some other things that are going on. Hopefully we have some slides for that. If not, I'll talk about again, overall, what's happened, what we think is going to happen going forward, and our opinion on what to do with some money at this point in time. So at the end of March, there was nowhere to hide. Virtually every asset class was in trouble, except for possibly cash. So we ended that quarter with a little over $292 million. We were down that month 11%. For the quarter, we were down about 15%, a little over 15%. So to put it in perspective, here we go.
You guys, is that the right one?
That's it.
Okay.
Okay, so the 292 is what I was talking about on the first page on the top. The 1 month number is down 11%. We did outperform our policy benchmark and composite benchmark, which is nice for relative return. So relative return was good. Absolute return is absolute number. So which means we are down a significant amount of money. As far as managers, if you go through individual managers, most of these managers are in line with their benchmark or slightly underperforming or performing in line. So if you look at Sizer for the month, down 10%, outperforming the S&P 500. Aristotle, down 15%, slightly outperforming their benchmark. Cook & Bieler, Mutual of America, two indices that actually came due, so they have to look at that in detail. If you look down the Clarebridge, outperforming. Cook & Bieler on the small cap value side, slightly underperforming. Small cap values, large cap, and then mid cap, and then small cap. The lower on the market capitalization, the worse the market got beat up. So some of these mid and small cap managers really got beat up, but you can see in the last week or so that's turned in the marketplace. So some of the smaller companies are coming back. There's many reasons for that. If you could think about who gets hurt the most with this economy being shutting down and access to funds in the month of March, you can see that small businesses have struggled. You go down to international, WCM, Outperformance, Emerging Market Note, Lazard. If you go to the next page, Leanna. Can I do it?
Oh, I did. I think I went to the next page, right?
Okay, good. Couple more indices, and then you have fixed income. Fixed income, again, the only one that really sticks out there is our Cincinnati portfolio. Cincinnati portfolio is a portfolio of mostly corporate fixed income. And corporate fixed income got in trouble with the fact that spreads widened. And all that simply means is that the credit risk associated with many of these companies that are in their portfolios became a challenge. So when the credit risk affects a portfolio of bonds, you're going to have pricing on bonds that goes down. So it's not just interest rates, it's a combination of interest rates and the quality of which of the portfolio that you own. So there's a disparity there. I've actually looked into Cincinnati as of this morning. They're up about 5% in the month of April. So they're bouncing back there. The only other things on this report that really matters is the alternatives. The alternatives are marked to market on a quarterly basis. We'll be getting those numbers hopefully within the next 2 or 3 weeks, which will bring all of the portfolio up to date as far as current value. Just quick math, as of this morning, portfolio is over $300 million. Every single equity manager, every single except for one, every single equity manager except for one was up over 10% in the month of April. So that's the good news. Lazard on the international side was only up about 7%, and there's a couple that are up actually double digits this month. So without belaboring the actual report, I'd like to look at the slideshow, which talks a little bit about the Corona situation and what we think will happen going forward and what's happened in the past to help us feel better about that. So if you could switch over to those slides that we used for SURF, Leanna, that would be a help. And again, if everyone can't see these, that's on the call. I know there's people that are on the call that aren't sent all these documents. I'll talk again at a macro level about what we're experiencing here.
Dave, so is it what you sent yesterday or from what was sent with SURF?
It's the same slideshow.
Okay.
Then you can go right to page 2. We're going to skip around.
Okay, I think it's up. You just go to.
Oh, that's the wrong one. If you go to the other one, that would be great. I'm sorry about that.
This is the wrong one? Okay.
The other attachments.
Okay. I think that's the only one I sent yesterday. Is it this one?
Yes, perfect.
Okay.
So, given the delay, I'll be quick. So, page 2. Okay, great. So, we're just going to do a little history here about where we've been in the past and if we've been through situations like this before. Now, granted, this is not something that we've ever been through before. So, we have to take this with a grain of salt. But this reflects back to major events in history that have affected stock markets and economies. So if you look at this chart, you just want to look at a couple of the major things that have happened in the past. You go back to the first left side of the chart. These are called black swan events. So you got Iraq invading Kuwait, major situation back then. You have in the middle of the page, the dot-com burst, major situation in the equity markets. Lehman Brothers, major situation in the equity markets back in 2008, 2009, and then you have COVID all the way to the right. And basically what it's saying is that we have been here before as far as dramatic events that affect economies and stock markets. And it seems to be that no matter what, this market seems to find a way and the economy seems a way to work our way out of it. So let's go to page 4. And what page 4 basically says is that, hey, we were like Goldilocks before this happened. We had an unstoppable economy, one of the best ones on record, if not the best ever. Lowest economy, lowest unemployment on record ever, the longest expansion of economic growth in the history of the country. So we were hitting on all cylinders. The S&P 500 is at 3,400. Things couldn't get any better. So we got stopped out right at the very, very stop of one of the best economies of all time. You go to page 5. Not even going to go through this. It all talks about is if we're in a recession or not. We are definitely in a recession. Recession is 2 quarters of negative GDP growth. We are definitely there. The first quarter was a negative 4.8% print on an annualized basis, which seems horrible. And we're looking at probably a negative 20% annualized GDP for the second quarter, which is unheard of. In fact, you have to go back to 1958 was I think it was the swine flu back then. Was it the swine flu or the Asian flu? We had a negative 10% quarter. And anything close to that goes back to 1945. So these are unprecedented times as far as what's going on with the slowing of the economy and GDP growth. If you go to page 7, we're going to talk about some of the things that we're trying to do here as an economy and as a world to try to stop this. So the Federal Reserve stepped in, thankfully and forcefully, and lowered interest rates to basically zero. And at the same time, the entire world did the same thing. So we saw a problem. We addressed that problem with with monetary stimulus, keeping rates as low as physically possible. I know that the Federal Reserve came out yesterday, kept rates the same, and it reiterated the fact, two things which are huge, reiterated the fact that rates will stay low for a very long time, and, which was an interesting comment from Chairman Powell, he said that they will not run out of money. So that's good. I don't think that was anybody's concern, but I'm glad that he threw that in there because that always helps stabilize markets in times like this. If you go to page nine talks about fiscal stimulus. So we had the Federal Reserve influxing the market with liquidity, which helps bonds not break and go bankrupt. It helps money markets stay stable, and it helps stabilize again a market in both equity and fixed income that was really getting to the point where it was not working correctly. On the fiscal side, this is, you know, the Congress and them stimulating the economy by helping people with direct stimulus, whether it's an individual or a company. So I'm not sure what the actual number is now. I know it's close to $4 trillion, and I'm not sure if we're done with that. So a combination of monetary and fiscal stimulus has really been deployed in a way that I know I've never seen, in a way that probably no one's ever seen in their lifetimes, unless they're extraordinarily old. So we're doing everything we can to stop the bleeding and to stabilize this. Because quite frankly, this wasn't an economic event by anyone's choice. It was a situation where we had the government telling companies to stop work. And it's catastrophic for so many ways when it comes to revenues. Page 10 talks about what we think is going to happen with rates. And it's very, very simple. Rates will stay low. As a firm, we're talking about the 10-year rate going up to about 1%. By the end of the year, right now, it's about 0.6%, so about 60 basis points, give or take. I think it's about 66 this morning. So we're thinking rates will rise slightly over the short term, but nothing that's really going to be dramatic. And if you look at page 11, it talks about the fact that we, just like the Federal Reserve, who's buying high quality bonds, we favor high grade investment bonds versus anything that's an outlier there. So stay with quality on the fixed income side and stay with quality on the stock side. Page 12. I know we spoke about this with SURF. You know, the market looks ahead. It always has. If you look on the left-hand side, look at the orange chart there, and that's us right now in COVID. And it seems like we've been there before, correct? 2007, a drawdown of 57%. 1980, a drawdown of 17%. We had a drawdown of 34%. What was unprecedented with this one is that we managed to do it in about 2 weeks. So we really, really came down hard, and we really bounced back pretty hard so far. I'm not saying that we're going to have a V-shaped recovery in this market necessarily. If you go to page 14, and that's the last page I'll talk about on this one. You know, our year-end target on the S&P 500 is a little over 3,000. We are right now at 29 and change. Computer right in front of me, but we're at 29,039. So we've bounced really, really hard here to the upside from a spot that was pretty bleak. There's a disparity here between what I think the market is doing versus what Main Street's doing. And it's challenging because if you think about it, in the most perfect economy of all time, we had an S&P 500 at 3,400. We have probably the worst situation we've ever seen as a nation economically. And we bounced off that 22 change on the S&P and we're back up to 3,000. And so I know we talked about this before, as far as, you know, not trying to time the market, not trying to fight the Fed. Basically what this chart is saying is that we don't know where the market's going to go in the short term. That's why we've added money in the last 30 days to to large cap stocks. We recommend that we continue to do that. It's just that we, you know, one thing is that I certainly believe that we have run very, very fast, very, very quickly. And that's a good thing because I think the market's looking out into the future. And I think that if you're able to grin and bear this situation, it could be forward looking that you will be paid handsomely in the future for holding your ground and to continue to purchase equities in this environment. We will pull through this. So again, it's a situation where we bought very low last time. At the end of last meeting, we'll be buying again on my recommendation at the end of this one. We'll probably see a pullback here. I'm not sure it's going to be anywhere near where we were, but we could see 5 to 10% just based on pure taking a breath in the market and then regrouping and then moving forward. So with that said, I'm going to open up to any questions, or I'm going to make a recommendation that you folks can ponder and then possibly vote on. But we do have cash to be deployed, and we want to take that, like we talked about last month, and redeploy it into or deploy it into large cap growth and value stocks. We gave $3 million to Sizer, which is one of our large cap managers, and we recommend that we do the same thing again this month. Derek, we did three and three for both funds. And so we did 4.5 for SURF last meeting, right? Are we going to do the same dollar amount for police and fire?
Yeah. So the SURF board, obviously it's kind of a unique situation. You folks meet at the end of the month. SURF meets more in the beginning, middle of the month. Obviously markets were through the month of April, they ran feverishly to the high side. So SURF board voted to increase their contribution from $3 million to $4.5 million for this month and next month, just because of the outlook of, hey, things are starting to look better on the upside. But to Dave's point, it's not unlikely that, we have another slide deck that we can present, but we for the sake of time, we don't have to get into that, that the markets are a rich based on, what earnings expectations are. I mean, the price to earnings multiple right now in the S&P is basically where it was before COVID happened because of the expectation that these companies are going to be earning less money. So you say, okay, the price that you're paying for stocks now versus what they're expected to earn in the coming quarters is rather robust and fully priced. So the market has run quite a bit in April and market futures are down 200 today, or actually market's open now. Or not to, set to get open. We did increase from 3 to 4.5. It's what SURF chose to do. It was earlier in the month. I don't know if you want to do that with police and fire. You do have supple cash to both pay benefits. So we have enough cash to pay benefits on a monthly basis and not sell your risk assets. And we have enough cash to deploy into equities if you so choose. Last month, police and fire board, this board voted to do $3 million a month for 3 months. So we've done 1 month. We're now in our second month. Whether you choose to go increase it from 3 to 4.5, like SURF did, that's your prerogative. We don't think it's a bad thing to do. Ultimately, long-term, you have to think this fund is going to go on in perpetuity forever. So stock prices now are definitely going to be cheaper than they were, hopefully 1, 2, 3, 4 years from now. So is it the absolute bottom? No. But all things considered, it's still a good opportunity to add money to stock.
So can you be explicit about what you're recommending?
So this is Dave again. Two things. We did fund the fixed income manager with $15 million. So they're deploying that money as we speak. We still have plenty of cash to be deployed into the portfolio. We're getting more money back in May, one of our investments. So we do have cash. So my recommendation right now is to stay at the $3 million deployment number. So we're going to take $3 million from cash. We're going to give that to Sizer and Large Cap Core. And we'll do that with your direction tomorrow, if that's something that the board agrees upon.
Is that something you were already planning on doing, or do you need us to actually vote on that?
We were already planning on doing it. I'm not sure if we voted as a group to do it each and every month, but you could check the minutes. I don't know if we did agree as a group to do that. But either way, we're reiterating the fact that that's what we'd like to do.
I mean, we can reaffirm that if that, unless the trustees have any objection to that, even if we did vote for this previously, just to make it simple. The trustees have any questions or thoughts on this specific item?
Trustee Cannon, you said we had more money in May coming. How much is that?
I believe it's another $10 million.
Okay.
You don't have to wait for me. I'll chime in when I find it. Give me one moment.
Could everybody just remember, this is Carolyn, to identify themselves when they speak.
And this is Trustee Cousin. Just for clarification purposes, you're going to take $3 million anyway. And what CERF did was they actually increased it by 1.5 to actually put into equities.
This is Derek. Correct, Reverend. That's what CERF did. But again, that was earlier in the month. So I think Dave's stance was, you know, things are a little bit fully priced at this point. And it might make sense to just stay at the $3 million. So I don't know that police and fire, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah, so we did $3 million. And I recommend that we continue at that $3 million number. Again, given the fact that the market has run extraordinarily fast this month, timing's not everything, but just because of the volatility in this market right now, I would stick with the $3 million number would be something that I would recommend.
Is there a motion? Anyone want to make a motion to stick with the $3 million investment as proposed by Raymond James?
Trustee Cannon, I move to take the advice of Raymond James, Dave Moran, to move $3 million to our large cap care, staying in point with what our past agreement was, $3 million.
This is Trustee Cousin, I second.
Having been moved and seconded, Justin Elliker, yes. Trustee Riviero?
Yes.
Trustee Cannon?
Yes.
Trustee Cousin?
Yes.
Trustee McDermott?
Yes.
This item passes. Just a note, Raymond James, if there is a very significant change in the market that triggers a need for us to make a choice about investments, you should feel free to contact our staff to set up an emergency meeting so that we can take advantage of any significant change in the future.
This is Dave Moran. Yes, sir. We will do.
Thank you. We will.
This is Trustee Rivera. Can I ask, can you send us that slide presentation? I don't believe it was in the email yesterday.
This is Dave. I didn't hear that quite clearly.
Yeah, can you send us that slide presentation that you just did? I don't believe it was in the email that just did.
Yes. Sure, we will do.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other anything else that you want to add, Mr. Moran?
No, I just, if any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer those. Otherwise, on our end, we're done, concluded.
Any questions?
Trustee Cannon. Dave, overall, this last quarter with COVID, where is our fund at? With how far down are we, percentage-wise, approximately?
I would say right now, high single digits, or high to mid single digits with our calculations. So, Derek, both funds are similar, but I think that according to my last calculation, probably in the negative 8% range.
Yes. That was as of, you know, a week ago. So, I mean, even probably been a little better. I think high single digits. You know, these reports are run end of month. So the report we just displayed was March 31st. And to Dave's point, the market has come back quite a bit since then. So you're probably down roughly 7 or 8% on your overall fund.
And it's Dave again. And let's not forget, we have almost a third of our portfolio in non-liquid assets, which is private equity, private real estate, and et cetera. So those will be updated starting as of today. So we'll get a better picture for you between now and the middle of the month, and we can get a good dollar number for you. Unfortunately, with police and fire, the information's kind of dated because we meet so long after the prior month. But I could even send that out to you. I can give a mid-month update if I do have any updates on those numbers. I'd be more than happy to share that with the board intra-meeting.
This is Carolyn. Or Leanna, can you make sure that that's posted on the website if that's sent out?
What needs to be posted on the website? This is Leanna.
This is Carolyn. If Dave sends out a more up-to-date report, it just needs to go on the website under the executive order.
Okay.
Any other questions?
This is Trustee Cannon. One more last point. Mayor, I agree with you. If there's something to come up, Dave, it would be greatly appreciated if you reached out to us and we had to meet for an emergency meeting to take advantage of the market. I'm definitely on board for that. So I agree with the mayor on that. One other point, just kicking this out there. A while back, the city of New Haven entertained a pension obligation bond. Dave, this question is to you. At the time, we had a lot of reservations due to the fact that the interest rate wasn't necessarily right. Is the time right now, if we were to put that situation to play right now, what we went through in the past, that pension obligation with the rates being the way they are now, would that be a better situation for us? Now?
Okay, so it's Dave Moran. First and foremost, I need to say this to protect myself. I am not an investment banker, and I cannot talk about investment banking directly to a client when it comes to issuance of bonds. So with that said, in general, I can talk about interest rates. I do have history with pension obligation bonding. I've managed money that's been bonded for over 20 years, so I understand very well. I can't make a recommendation as to whether or not the city should do it. However, given the fact that interest rates are at an all-time low, history low, mathematically, it would be probably the best time.
Dave, you're breaking up pretty badly, Dave. You're breaking up.
Oh, yeah. So did everybody hear me about the investment banking part?
Yeah.
Yes.
We heard your disclaimer.
Okay, thank you. And then what I want to say is, again, when it comes to the actual interest rate environment, yes, interest rates are dramatically low. And the way in which pension obligation bonds work is that you borrow money from the public, you put it into a pension fund, and you try to make the difference between the bond payments or the service on those bonds versus the overall return of the market. So theoretically, if we're trying to make between 7% and 8% in the portfolio over 20 or 30 years, if we were able to borrow at a dramatically lower rate than we could in the past, which we would be probably seeing as rates are at the lowest level they've ever been, timing-wise, it would be something to at least consider. Any other questions?
Any other questions from the trustees? Any other questions? I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second. Trustee Cousin, second.
So Trustee Rivero moved to adjourn. Trustee Cousin seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great day. Be safe.
Thank you.
Thank you.